This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, November 6th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Prop 50 win disappoints California Farm Bureau. Water prices tripled in drought. Justice has asked tough questions in tariff case. And China pulls some tariffs. Rural voices at risk with Prop 50, according to Farm Bureau. The California Farm Bureau expressing disappointment in the wake of the Prop 50 redistricting initiative that passed Tuesday. The agriculture advocates warned the measure threatens to dilute rural representation and undermine independent political map drawing. In a statement yesterday, Bureau President Shannon Douglas described the passage as, quote, another setback for Californians, particularly in those rural areas. She stressed that, quote, fair and independent redistricting is essential to ensuring that lawmakers understand issues central to agriculture and rural communities, such as land use, water access, food production, and rural infrastructure. Douglas added that the measure will weaken representation across the state by favoring gerrymandering and reshaping districts in ways that simply don't make sense. She charged that Modoc and Marin don't belong in the same district, nor does San Jose or Coalinga. The Farm Bureau underscored its longstanding support for independent redistricting, recalling its opposition to Prop 27 in 2010, which aimed to disband the state's Independent Redistricting Commission. Douglas pledged to continue advocating to ensure rural and agriculture communities remain represented, in, quote, no matter who is in office. Take note, Prop 50 specifically targeted five Republican districts, including Representative Doug LaMalfa's Northern District and Representative David Valadao's San Joaquin Valley District. Yet it is also solidifying Democratic support in other battleground districts in the Central Valley. Sabato's Crystal Ball has updated its rating for Representative Adam Gray's district in Merced and Madera counties from a toss-up to leaning Democratic. Representative Josh Harder's San Joaquin County district shifted from less Democratic to likely Democratic. Surface water prices tripled in drought. A new UC Davis economic analysis finds the average price for surface water soared to about $487 an acre foot during dry years, more than three times the cost during wetter years. The study, published in the journal Nature Sustainability, examined water transaction data from 2010 through 2022, revealed a dramatic surge in surface water prices tied to precipitation declines. In contrast, groundwater prices remained relatively stable over the same period. Lead author Madeline Turland says the price volatility, quote, surprised me, adding that during dry years we have really high surface water prices. During wet years we have really low water prices. The researchers recommend California intensify efforts to integrate surface and groundwater management, noting that more storage alone may offer only limited relief in the context of climate-driven swings in supply and demand. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Trump's tariff authority gets scrutiny from justices. President Donald Trump's tariff faced tough questions at the Supreme Court yesterday, but we don't know for sure what the court thinks until it rules months from now following oral arguments yesterday. The justices seem skeptical of arguments from Solicitor General D. John Sauer. Predictions based on oral arguments are always perilous, but Georgetown University constitutional law professor Steve Valdik said on CNN that the chances are good the administration loses. I was thinking it was 50-50. He said, I'm closer to 80-20 against tariffs after the argument. But, he said, we have examples of arguments not being predictive, he said. Conservative justices prodded Sauer on multiple facets of his arguments. Chief Justice John Roberts on the lack of clear delegation of Congress tariff powers, quote, the exercise of power is to impose tariffs, right? And the statute doesn't use the word tariffs. Justice Neil Gorsuch on the challenge of reversing delegated powers, quote, don't we have a serious retrieval problem here because once Congress delegates by a bare majority and the president signs it, and of course every president will sign a law that gives him more authority, Congress can't take back that without a supermajority. Even then, it's going to be veto-proof. What president's ever going to give that power back? Justice Brett Kavanaugh said, quote, why do you think Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama have not used IEEPA to impose tariffs? Because there have been trade disputes. Take note, Justice Amy Coney Barrett also contemplated how a tariff refund process might work and agreed with Gorsuch that even if Congress feels that IEEPA gives the president too much authority, it's going to have a very hard time pulling the tariff power out of IEEPA. Correct? China lifts some tariffs but keeps 10% rate in place. China says it will lift the bulk of tariffs it put in place as a part of the tariff dispute with the U.S., but it will leave a 10% rate in place. China will scrap some agriculture-specific tariffs of up to 15% starting November 10th. It will also lower a 34% tariff applied to all U.S. exports in April to 10% for at least a year. That according to a pair of finance ministry statements. Now take note, Matthew Nichol, an ag market analyst for UK-based China Policy, told AgriPulse that the lower duties would narrow the cost difference between the U.S. and Brazilian soybeans. But he also said U.S. beans are unlikely to fall below Brazil's price with an overall 13% duty in the Chinese market, much higher than Brazil and Argentina's 3%. But the Trump administration had previously indicated that Beijing would suspend, quote, all of the retaliatory tariffs on U.S. ag products. The White House did not respond to a request to comment yesterday. Carney, U.S. and Canada talks have yet to start. U.S. trade talks with Canada are still on ice, Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney told reporters yesterday. During a news conference, the Prime Minister said he had apologized to Trump on the sidelines of the Asia-Pacific Cooperative Summit last week for a poll TV ad that the President did not like. Trump promised new tariffs on Canada over that ad, which featured former President Ronald Reagan criticizing tariffs, but so far there have been no new tariffs. Here's today's final word. Wine is not grown in a bottle at the grocery store. That Cameron Moritzen, vineyard manager at Moritzen Farms in Harrellsburg and board director at the California Association of Wine Grape Growers. On a call with reporters yesterday, CAWG leadership laid out their post-harvest outlook. Jeff Bitter, president of the Allied Wheat Growers, lamented that his year's grape crush is shaping up to be the smallest in 30 years. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, November 6th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chop Daly.